Good morning. Welcome. I'm the Reverend Rachel Campbell, and I'm the minister here at Trinity in Summerside. Thank you for worshiping with us in person as well as online, our podcast, and sermon by phone. So, yes, Yes, I did break my wrist, and I was told that I had a very classy cast as I came in today. And I said, yes, and I'm color coordinated. Absolutely. So a way to ring in New Year that I do not recommend, but it is healing, and all is well. We have some celebrations to announce to you today, and that are birthday celebrations. Now, I'm going to go back a little bit because we do have an Epiphany baby in the congregation, and she had a birthday on January 6th. Nancy Small, there you are. Happy birthday. Now, I know he's not with us today, but you can, Lucy, I'm sure, wish him a happy birthday on January 8th. RL had a birthday, so we wish him a happy birthday as well. He shares a birthday with Irma Hogg, and I know she's watching from home today. And William Wedlock, a lot of January 8th birthdays. On January 9th, Alan Crew, and I know Alan Crew is watching from home, so we'll say hi to him and Mabel. And then on January the 10th, Mary Smallman, right there. Right? You had a birthday, January the 10th. Happy birthday. Yes, you clap because I can't, right? So that would be great. And then on January the 13th, Dorothy Goody. I'm not sure if Dorothy's with us today, but I know she'll be watching. So Dorothy Goody, happy birthday. Sally Rankin also had a birthday on January the 13th. And on January the 14th, and I know she's here, Betty Strongman. Hi, Betty. Happy birthday on January the 14th. January the 15th, I love Facebook for this, Inez. Happy birthday, Inez, January the 15th. Yes, clap. I'm going to hurt myself. I'm going to end up clapping. And then on January the 21st, I know she's watching from home, Marcella Cormier. So happy birthday, Marcella. We'll all wave. January the 23rd, Arnie. Happy birthday, Arnie. And she's not with us today, but please, if you see her, Audrey Simpson, January 22nd, has a birthday. So we'll wave because I know they'll watch from home. Happy birthday. And Mary Ellen Adams, she's not here today, but I know she had a birthday yesterday. So much love to Mary Ellen at home and happy birthday. Any other birthdays? You are a today baby in the house, Elaine Burroughs. Wow, happy birthday. Thank you, Joyce, you're a rock star. I love that. You're tricky. You are tricky. Any other birthdays? He's not here today, so we'll maybe next Sunday then. Okay, everybody, happy birthday, dear friends. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear friends. Happy birthday to you. On the second Sunday after Epiphany, it is with deep gratitude and respect that Trinity United Church gathers and worships on unceded Mi'kmaq territory. Abiquit, Prince Edward Island, is covered by the historic treaties of peace and friendship. Let us prepare ourselves for worship. At the beginning of every service, we light the Christ candle as a sign and symbol of Christ's presence with us, reminding us to take the light of Christ out into the world. in our thoughts and in our deeds. We pray that this world finds peace, hope, joy, and love. Amen. Please join me in the call to worship. We believe in the welcome at the table prepared by our Creator for all of us. We believe the once lost when found offers us the opportunity to rejoice, and God prepares a place of welcome for all who are found. God and all of heaven rejoices when what was once separated is reconnected. Amen. Please be seated. And let us join our voices in the gathering prayer. Friends, neighbors, community, come and experience this great heavenly joy of the return. O God of love, we offer our thanksgiving for your constant presence and perseverance. We are found. We believe. I invite those ages 3 to 15, leaders, all those in the junior church program to come forward to find a spot just up in the front on the steps or in the front pew. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome. I'll get you to hang on to those. Don't show them to anybody quite yet. Well, good morning. Come on up. Welcome, welcome, welcome. There's lots of room up here. Welcome. Come on up for a little bit of a story for a time for all ages. So this is a new year. This is 2026, a brand new year. And a lot of time when there's a new year, there's lots of things for us to do. Maybe some new experiences. Maybe we have some new toys at Christmas time. Maybe all those different things are happening. Maybe we are starting something new. One of the things that I love about starting something new is that the people around you support you. Right? They show that love and support. Maybe you're scared about something. Maybe it's the first time for something and you're scared, but people rally around you and support you. And Phoebe's going to share with you a story from 1 Corinthians about that love. Now, I had a lot of support around me. You're probably looking at this wondering what happened. I had a fall and I hurt my wrist, but I had this love and support from the Prince County Hospital, from the nursing staff, from the doctors, from the amazing fracture clinic that we have down here in Charlottetown. Didn't even know that existed until I had to use it. They are awesome. The doctor there, Dr. Miller, love you. Unbelievable. Really great supports. My husband, being loving, took a picture of me with my first cast. And then he made it into a coloring sheet because he's funny. He thought laughter would help the situation. But you can see, he says to me, even as a coloring sheet, your eyes look sad, Rachel. They were pretty sad. Usually I'm pretty smiley. I wasn't overly smiley in there. I was glad to almost be ready to go home and very, very happy with being able to go to Charlottetown 4 days later and get things right. So as things heal, I still have that love and support around me. I was driven in to church by Louise today, and she carried in my bag. How nice is that? And then I couldn't figure out how to mic myself up, and Peggy put the mic on me and made sure that it was in the right place. People were telling me my cast looked pretty. It was a classy cast. There's a love that surrounds you when you're in community. And so, Phoebe, I want you to share with us a story that Paul shared with the church in 1 Corinthians about the love of community and church family. Oh, and we'll turn on the lectern mic.
Paul's friends in Corinth had a lot of good ideas, but sometimes they forgot what was most important, love. Paul wanted to help them remember. Paul said, "If I use words that everyone understands but don't have love, I'm just clanging a bell or a booming drum making noise. If I teach people about God, know what will happen tomorrow. Know everyone, everything there is to know, and can figure out the mysteries of the world. But I don't know about love. None of the other I know matters. If I sell everything I have and give the money to the poor, but I don't have love, I have nothing, nothing at all. Love is easygoing and kind. It never wants what it can have, it can't have. It doesn't brag, it's not rude, it's not selfish. It doesn't get angry, it always forgives. Love is happy with the truth. Love always protects, trusts, and hopes. Love doesn't give up. It never fails. All the things we know and all the things we have will go away someday. But God's love will never go away. Every day that we will grow older, we will learn more and more. Today, we only know a tiny bit about God's love. But someday, we'll know all there is to know about it." Paul ended his letter by telling the people in Corinth that love is the most important thing they have. Paul said, "Until the time you know everything about God's love, you have three things to remember: faith, hope, and love. The most important thing of these three things is love."
Thank you for reminding us how important love is. Now, because my husband has a sense of humor and because I want to share that love of sense of humor with you, I made you all your own coloring sheet of me and my cast. So, thank my husband for this. And if there's any left over, the council are having a meeting afterwards. They can color some too. There we go. Let us sing you out for Junior Church.
For the last couple of weeks, we've been celebrating the season of Epiphany, and focusing first on the light of Christ, which we light every morning in our sanctuary to welcome into our lives the light of Christ. And today our focus is on love, and Phoebe so beautifully read all of the characteristics of Jesus of love that we are trying to emulate in our life. Today's reading is about the beginning of Jesus' ministry, seen through the eyes of John the Baptist. And Jesus is called the Lamb of God, as testified by John. And it's interesting to note that the Lamb of God is mentioned twice in this very brief passage, as is John's testimony of witnessing that Jesus is indeed the Lamb of God. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, another one comes a man's rank ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him." I think that's one of the most beautiful images in the whole Bible. "I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that he is the chosen one." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and he watched Jesus walk by and exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And that's the title of Reverend Rachel's sermon this morning, so we look forward to that. "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is translated meaning teacher. "Where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, recognized him, "You are Simon, son of John, you are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter, the rock.
Thank you.
Please join me in prayer and let us pray. Loving God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, dear God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Any invitation begins with just that, an invite. Once we're invited, then we have a choice. Can we respond? What will we respond with? Will we go? Will we not? The text shared this morning by Susan is an invitation not only for the disciples, the first disciples in the time of Jesus, but it's also an invitation for each of us today. The question will be then, how will we respond to that same invitation? In many faith traditions, including a variety of Christian denominations, the idea of response is quite important. Some might call it an opportunity for testimony. Now, testimony can be heard and felt by many in different ways. In my research, I have found that it all depends on how you have personally experienced testimony that affects how you might define it or how you even might feel about that word, testimony. For example, in the dictionary, testimony is defined as a formal, written, or spoken statement, especially one given in a court of law. This is a very formal definition that holds a lot of responsibility. You are held to your testimony in a court of law. If you offer false testimony, you would have consequences for the deception, for sharing untruths. In the biblical sense, testimony is seen as the act of sharing one's personal experiences, personal encounters, and even reflections of God's work in our lives. Some may even go further and say, in the biblical or spiritual sense, testimony is more like sharing one's personal experiences of their own faith. But within the testimony, we are recognizing the work of God in our lives and how we offer then God the glory. God is the one to be praised. You might note that at the end of every sermon or sermon reflection that we share together, the last thing that I say, all glory is God's. It's not mine. It's not my sparkly cast. All glory is God's. That, one might argue, is the response to the ending of a said testimony, not just a sermon. However, some might even call a sermon a testimony. It is a time where the scripture is reflected on and brought into the now through the person who is sharing it with the congregation. Personal experiences of the scripture and how that scripture has changed that person's life may be shared within that time of testimony. That testimony then goes beyond the person sharing it to you, the individuals hearing it. And they are called. You are called. We are called, we are invited. Just like the hearers of the word in the time of Jesus in the gospel lesson shared this morning, there is a response to not only me, but there's a response to each person. In the sharing of good news, in the hearing of good news, how will you respond? And when you do respond, all those gifts that are given to you, where does the glory go? To God. Those good works are to the glory of God. So why would the hearers of the word then and us today choose to even respond to the call of Jesus? What were those first disciples seeking? Was there something lacking within their lives? What was happening within their world that would have them even considering following this man, this teacher, this rabbi, this once stranger. What were they looking for? And let's be honest. We could ask ourselves the exact same question. It's a cold winter morning. It's messy out there. What are you looking for? Why did you come to this place today? Why did you join us online? There's lots of other things that you could be watching online. Why did you join us? Why did you respond as we have in this moment in time, to be in this moment in time today in our lives? Why? Our own individual stories of faith, those are our testimonies, testimonies that change and evolve and create opportunities for spiritual growth, a time where you can question, a time when you can be very real and honest with your Creator. When we provide testimony, we are seeking truth. We are seeking guidance. We are seeking a response. Jesus is very much asking the same in the Gospel of John today. Jesus is inviting us to not only join that movement with him, but to become part of the movement. We cannot become complacent. Christmas is over. We're done till Easter. No, we cannot become complacent. When we move within the gospel lesson from the invite to the chance for testimony and then a willingness to come and see, we can't build testimony sitting at home. We can't build testimony when we're not opening ourselves up to come and see. What is Jesus doing for us in our lives and in the world? Because when we do the work in here, we see the work out there. What is God doing for us in our lives? And as such, within this evolving and transformation of our testimonies, we become part of the Christian story out into the world. And then we listen to other faiths, and then we work together. And friends, this request comes repeatedly within our faith. This is not a one-time fix. It's not a once-a-year come-to-church experience. This is something that we work on every single day, and we come together in a regular way of community, like we're doing this morning, like we do when we do small group studies, like we do when we do Feed My Sheep. This is how we truly honor the invite, the response, and ultimately the ability to get out of the way and give God all the glory. The good news. This is how. Those that respond to the invite and actually come and see, well, they experience revelation. They experience the Messiah. In this time of Epiphany, when Jesus is beginning his early ministry, we are experiencing the once again Messiah, the promise fulfilled, the prophecy fulfilled. We are experiencing revelation. We're not just seeing the star, the stable, we're going beyond that. And this is an important time in our Christian year because it's a time when we pause and we re-listen to that invite of Jesus. It is a recommitment. It is a re-covenanting. We must ask ourselves once again, what are we looking for? And when we answer the call and we actually come and see, we must be prepared with the reality that we will be changed. Just like Simon became Peter, the rock, we will be changed and transformed by these teachings, by the lessons, by these stories, by the testimonies. And within all of it, all glory is God's. When we think of it this way, testimonies are very, very powerful. Not only in earthly law-abiding reality, but in a heavenly realm of truth. Testimonies in this sense are not taken lightly. They hold truths. When they are of God, they hold a lot of weight. They are transformative. And when we worry about lies being disguised as truth, sadly, we can see a lot of that within our world today. Keep in mind that all lies disguised as testimony will be revealed, as Jesus has said many times within our gospel lessons. When light shines upon false testimony, the lies will be revealed and truth will once again prevail. This is how we truly glorify God, and it is our greatest weapon against the evils of this world. As the hymn, When Pain of the World Reminds Us, that first verse just captured my attention this week. When pain of the world surround us with darkness and despair, when searching just confounds us with false hopes everywhere, when lives are starved for meaning and destiny is bare, we are called to follow Jesus and let God's healing flow through us. Using our voice to join with the voices of others for justice, for respect, to live into the teachings of Jesus Christ. We must share in true testimony, like we are doing here today. We must be courageous enough to say yes to the invite to come and see what Jesus can and has and will continue to do within our lives when we answer the call. Jesus is waiting for us to respond to his call. When we do, show such courage, this world will change. It has in the past and it will again. Those things that are not of God, that are a facade of truth, the light of truth, the real truth, will break cracks in that facade and truth will prevail. That is what this text is about today, emphasizing the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It is diving into and exploring that question, what are we looking for? We can complain about a lot, but what are we looking for? And basically, when we ask that question, there is obviously things that we want to change, not only within our world, but maybe even within ourselves, right? How would you like to see this world? How would you like to see this world? Is everything perfect in it? Or do we need to answer a call to come and see, to truly witness, to be courageous enough to respond and to proclaim the lessons of our faith, the good news, so that we live into our gospel lessons, like in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Let people see your light shine. To live into the scriptures of our faith is a daily choice for each of us. There is a lot of pain in this world. There can be a lot of pain within each of us at any given moment within our lives. How will we respond? Will we come and see at the request of Jesus? Will we allow ourselves to find community, to show up, to be present in whatever capacity we can? Will we finally begin to dive into our own question that asked, what are we looking for? Are we brave enough to explore that question? All glorious gods. Amen.
As we start into our next hymn, which is the hymn that Rachel referred to in her reflection, When Pain of the World, we are going to have the choir stand and sing the first two verses. And as they sing, listen and watch those words carefully, as Rachel has told us about verse one for sure. And then I'm going to ask you to stay seated and join us for verses 3 and 4. Verse 3 refers to the whole church as a holy vessel. And then at the end of each verse is kind of a chorus. We are called to follow Jesus and be God's and let God's healing flow through us. And then it changes. We are called to follow Jesus and let God's justice flow through us. And the third verse, with the whole church involved, we are called to follow Jesus and let God's Spirit flow through us. And finally, we are called to follow Jesus and let God's changes flow through us. All very powerful images as we sing this. So please listen and then and help us sing in verses 3 and 4. I invite the choir to stand.
Good morning. The reading this morning from Mission and Service, I believe, was deliberately given to me. I spent 43 years in Newfoundland, and this story that I'm going to tell you is about Newfoundland. So it's called Good Foods and Good Futures. In St. John's, Newfoundland, Hungry Hearts Cafe and Catering is a place where good food and good hearts come together. For 18 years, this social enterprise of Mission and Service partner, Stella's Circle, has been serving the community while opening doors for people who face barriers to employment. At Hungry Heart, every dish tells a story of learning and possibility. The cafe provides hands-on culinary training and real work experience for people who are rebuilding their lives. Many participants live with the impact of mental health challenges, trauma, poverty, homelessness, or low literacy. Some are trying to re-enter the workforce after long absence. What they find at Hungry Heart is a safe space to learn at their own pace. Staff offer mentorship, life skills support, and steady encouragement. The goal isn't just to teach restaurant skills, it's to help people gain confidence, develop independence, and imagine a future where they can thrive. Food security is another part of the cafe's mission. Through the Meals Squared program, customers can add a small donation to their bill, and that donation goes directly toward providing nutritious meals to Stella's Circle participants and other neighbors who are experiencing hunger. It's a simple way to care for the community, one meal at a time. And behind it all is Stella's Circle, a mission and service partner known for responding quickly to changing needs and for creating programs that meet people where they are, whether it's updating training opportunities, collaborating with community groups, or addressing rising food insecurities. The people at Stella's Circle continue to innovate so community members can receive the kind of support that makes a real and sustainable difference. Through mission and service, your support helps strengthen Stella's Circle and the Hungry Heart Cafe, ensuring this community remains a place of opportunity, dignity, and good food shared with care. It's one way to come together to help people build skills, find stability, and move toward the futures they imagine for themselves, reflecting Christ's call to work with one another in compassion and hope.
Good morning. This is a reminder to pick up your 2026 contribution envelopes, which are at the back of the church, or they are in the church office during the week. If you are on par, the changes requested during the stewardship campaign start this month. And if you require additional information, please just reach out to the church office. Next Sunday, the stewardship team will induct new members for the Century Club, and coffee and conversation will take place following the service. For additional information on these items and more on the life and work of Trinity and its work into the community, the bulletin or newsletter are available at the entrances and on the website trinitysummerside.ca. Trinity is truly blessed by the people in this community of faith. We thank you for being willing to share your time, talent, and treasure all year round.
Thank you, Nancy, for that reminder. We share our time, talent, and treasure all year round, every day, not just within sanctuary, but we take what we learn from in here out into the world. And I loved that as you were reading about the wonderful, beautiful work that's happening in Newfoundland to feed people and to reach out to people, we had our pictures of the Feed My Sheep program. I love that going on the screens to show that we respond to needs not only within PEI, within Newfoundland, but around the world, if their need is there. So as Gary brings forward a symbol of response, which is the offering plate, let us please rise, those who are able, and we'll offer a prayer of blessing over the offering of time, talent, and treasure. Friends, please join me in prayer, and let us pray. Loving Creator, help us to remember that we were made to love. And in doing so, we bring who we are, we bring our talents, we bring our offering so that it may continue to show the loving ministry of your church out into the world. Bless our offering as you have blessed us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'm good.
I'll do my share.
Please be seated. Bless you. Please join me in prayer and let us pray. God of the poor and lowly, we offer you our fears, our struggles, and our vulnerabilities. We trust that you love us not only in our successes but also in our failures, not only in our health but in our illness. Not only in our joys, but in our sorrows. You are there. God of the poor and lowly, we offer you our prayers for those who have been made to feel small and weak by unjust systems and structures, by war or violence, abuse and cruelty. We seek for them healing and strength, for justice, that they may know that they are persons of worth, that they may be able to make life-giving choices. With your help, we seek to create a world of peace and justice and abundance for all, where all may come into their strength as the best selves that we can be. God of the poor and lowly, we hold in our hearts those who need extra love and care, including those among us, known to us. May your love touch them through the loving kindness of friends and neighbors, of church community, and all who journey with them. And in a moment of silence, we hold in love and light those who need our prayers. We pray for people to feel safe in their streets again, in their homes again, for people to show love and respect again. These and all the prayers of our hearts we offer in the name of your beloved. Amen.
Sun, the stars, soul, and spirit to me.
must raise our voices in order for the Spirit to descend. As we leave this place today, I commission you all to be alert, to stand firm in the faith, to be valiant and strong, but let all that you do be done out of love. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Amen and hallelujah.